Welcome. I'm Nestor Flores, the pastor of Dayspring Church in Mission Hills, California. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I want to invite you to learn more about Dayspring Church by visiting our website, dayspringmh.org. We trust that if you open your heart, God will speak to you and you'll know how to live a life with God at the center that will result in a blessed life. This message will inspire, build your faith, and help you to know God better. Enjoy the message.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Worship is a language of gratefulness. And the reason why we worship God is because we are thankful. Amen. I got nothing else to give him but my worship. And that's why Sunday is our time to just express how grateful we are to the Lord. How many are thankful to God? Amen. I am so thankful to God. And those of you who are watching us online, welcome. We wish you would be here, but for whatever reasons you're not, we want you to join us and be blessed where you're at. Amen? Yeah. Well, I'm so happy to be here this morning, a little nervous, but my heart is overjoyed with God has been teaching us this whole month, talking about bold prayers. How many have changed their prayers so far? Amen? Yeah. You know, when I was in the elementary school, we were taught to pray for our food. And when it came down, I got my little chalupa and my chocolate milk. If you're old, you know what a chalupa is in elementary. And I would go like this, thank you, Lord, for this food, and pretending I was just wiping my eyes. And then that was my prayer. I was a little embarrassed as a kid. But now that I'm older, my needs are much greater. My prayers are in greater need, and I'm just so blessed that this month we've been talking about prayer, and prayer is a key for revival. Amen. Inside your bulletin, there's a series for how to fast September 1st through the 14th. We're going to be fasting, and Pastor, who's at the Iglesia today, he's filling in just for today. He told me to tell you he'll be back next week. He won't be gone like another month before, but he'll be back next Sunday. He wanted me to tell you. But inside your bulletin, he wants to, if you could choose a certain fast that you want to practice, or if you're accustomed to not eating from morning till dinner time, but from September 1st to the 14th, we're going to be fasting. And there you got a little list of, you know, some people are going to probably fast coffee or chocolate. I don't know. You know, whatever is your weakness. And, you know, everyone's got a certain weakness. You can take everything away from me except for coffee. I tell the Lord, Lord, just I need my coffee. That's gone through me through so much. And but if I have to, I'll take it. I'll eliminate it. So September 1st through the 14th, you know, decide what kind of fast. So we're going to get ready for our revival September 12th through the 14th. I mean, it's going to be, someone's excited. Hey, man. So we're just excited. This series is going to be on Sent. Send me. So we're just getting ready for a move of God. I've been praying. And one of my devotionals, God really spoke to me about one of the sermons I'm going to be giving. Hopefully I'm preaching, but if I'm not, I'm going to have to give it another day. But we're just getting ready with anticipation for what God has done for you. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, Tom. Are you ready for the word? Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. It's going to be our scripture for today. Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. When you got it, say amen. Amen. Well, technology helps out a lot, but you old schoolers with your Bible, let's read. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, and two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. The crowd sternly told them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus stopped and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your written word, Father. We ask that this word may be expressed in our hearts and in our spirits through the Holy Ghost. We ask you, Father, that you open our ears of understanding, our hearts, Lord, to receive with gratitude what you have in store for us this day. We want to grow. We want to be more like you. Father, would you help us, Holy Ghost, by helping us go through this process in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's a question Jesus asked two blind men on the road coming out of Jericho. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And if the Lord were to ask you this question, I got a humongous list of what I want him to do. The truth today is we want to speak about praying boldly, but for yourself. And, you know, it's okay to pray. You know, we boldly pray for others, and we love to pray the Holy Spirit for others, but we neglect sometimes to boldly pray for our own needs, right? When I pray, I said, "Lord God, I got a whole list, you know, from my children to my wife." And then I said, "Oh, Lord, if you can, you know, just give me the strength to move on." And I neglect certain things about me that I need God to do in my heart also. So today we're going to speak, and we're going to be a little selfish, if that's okay, and praying boldly for yourself. It's time you look out for yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's all right. You're going to say amen at the end of the sermon. The Bible tells us bold prayers for yourself are actually not selfish when they are aligned with God's heart. Amen? You know, I want a Mercedes, but I can only afford a Honda Passport. God knows my need, and his will is for have certain things, but not what I want. And I'm glad that I don't get what I want, but I get what I need. Imagine if you got everything you wanted. Man, you'd be spoiled. In prayer, we can approach God with complete assurance of his ability to answer us. There is no limit to what we can ask if it is according to his will. You know, that's the main point of prayer. It's not to just, you know, in general, God knows my need. He knows what I need. No, he lovingly wants to hear what you need. Like a father and a mother, like, I love it. You know, I know what my daughters need, and I know what they need and what they want. But I love to hear when they ask me, you know, because I get, "Oh, Daddy. Papacito. Chulo." And I love it. I know what they're going for, but I love to hear this. And it's like they turn on a switch. They're loving, they're sweet and kind. And mama, daddy's, daddy, mom, what do you call them? Daddy girls, you know what I'm talking about, right? Romans 12:2, I want to bring this to your mind. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test." Somebody say test. "And approve," someone said approve, "what God's will is." And in Romans 12:2, it says, "His good, pleasing, and perfect will." We got to change our mentality when it comes to God. We got to understand that we got to change our mentality, not according to the world with selfish needs, but according to a prayer set before God, asking him, "Lord, I want you to test my prayer, and I want it to be approved according to your will. And all this is his good, pleasing, and perfect will." In other words, whatever you ask, and you may ask it boldly, if it's good, not so much for yourself, but for God, and pleasing in his perfect will. I'd rather get what pleases God than what pleases my selfish needs. Amen?
Amen.
Only this side say amen.
Amen.
I want to please my Father and his good, pleasing, perfect will. Father, what is your will? I need this, Lord God, and you know I've been wanting this, but I wanted to be in your will, God. I wanted to be good, Father. Many of us have made decisions on the fly and just say, well, if this is what it means, and I'll just take it. I'll take him. I'll take her. I'll take this. I'll take that. And then later we regret. But we got to understand, if you got to wait on God. If you got to wait just a little bit longer, a few more years, because you want it to be perfect in God's will. You know what perfect means? Perfect means complete. It doesn't mean that there's no errors. You know, my wife and I, she's perfect for me. Not for you, for me. She has faults, but she completes me. We're perfect together. She finishes my sentence. She tells my joke before I finish it. She's perfect for me, but not for you. Amen. And I know my wife prayed and prayed for me, and I came, and you know, I don't know what she saw in me, but I know that she prayed for a man of God. I know that she prayed. I don't know if she prayed for a preacher. I don't know that. But she got that. She got a man of God and she got a preacher. She should have prayed for a rich man and a handsome man with all the package. But she only got a preacher and a good man, you know, and that's what she needs. And she's not here, so I can say that. But she should have asked for a rich man and a good-looking guy. But that's okay. She got what she needed. You know, and sometimes we don't know what we have, right? But we got to begin with bold faith. These two men couldn't see Jesus, but they believed in him before he healed them. Now, these are two blind men crying out, Lord, Son of David. And in the crowd, they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Son of David. And this is a cry of praise and a prayer of salvation, with Hosanna saying, meaning save us, and Son of David referring to Jesus as the prophesied king and Messiah from King David's lineage. And here we got two blind men on the side of the road, insignificant, marginalized, not part of the crowd, but God listened to their prayer. You know, Jesus in the crowd, the people were shouting, Hosanna to the highest, praise to the Lord, the Son of David. But here there's two blind men on the road, maybe insignificant to everyone else around them. But their heart was there to cry out, Son of David. And the reason they cried out, because they knew that this was no ordinary man. They weren't crying out, heal me right now before you pass us by. They were worshiping. They were giving praise to God before they received the miracle. When Jesus turned around, he asked them the great question, what do you want me to do for you? And they were declaring, we know who you are. And that's why we called you out. In the middle of a crowd, a prayer of anguish, a prayer full of praise, a prayer of someone who's been through a lot, a prayer of someone who's been crying in the middle of the night when everyone else is asleep, a prayer filled with despair is a prayer that I'm sure that God would incline his ear towards. In the middle of praise of angels singing around about his throne, singing holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, but he can incline his ear to a little poor old me in the middle of the night needing for God to answer me. That's the kind of God that we serve. I said, that's the kind of God that we serve. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. I know, and I got the confidence. And as soon as the Lord turned to them and he asked them, what do you want? He said, Lord, open our eyes. We want to see. The most basic thing that we have, and we wake up every morning, our eyes are open, we're able to see, we don't realize that there's some people who don't open their eyes, who don't have the ability to grasp, who don't have the ability to walk, who don't have the ability to do certain things. And in that anguish, in that prayer of that person, God can hear, and God wants to make a difference. And the Bible says that the Lord healed them at that very moment. In the middle of crowds and shouting, in the middle of everyone else, he made sure that these poor souls are significant when everything around him may seem insignificant, but those two people in need. I'm here to tell you, it's not in your notes, but you are significant in the eyes of God. You might think you're the lowest, you're the last of the number, no one cares about you. That might be the case, but there's a God in heaven who cares about you. There's a God in heaven who loves you. There's a God in heaven who knows who you are. There's a God in heaven who knows the prayers you've been asking for him. And we know him. We have the confidence that we have toward him, that the Bible says, whatever we ask according to his will, he hears us. And what is his will? Well, we're gonna talk about that also. But one thing I want to say, the greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayers, but unoffered prayers. He wants to know where you're at. And we're grumbling and we're getting upset about unanswered prayers. God, why haven't you answered my prayer as of yet? Why things haven't changed as of yet? But God not wants to let you know that the tragedy is you not offering up that prayer. Don't get upset. Don't get tired of praying. Even if you die, that prayer is still heard in heaven. We've seen a lot of funerals, and after the funerals, and we buried the person, that aunt, and they come the next Sunday and says, my aunt has been praying for me for 20, 30 years, and I'm here because the Holy Ghost touched me, and I want to give my life for Jesus. If that she had to die in order for someone else to live. You never know how God is going to work, but you keep praying. You keep praying. There's no one else going to pray for your need like you are. I love you, but I'm not going to spend the middle of the night praying for your need. Somebody like you got to pray for that need. Amen. Don't give up. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them, don't give up. Church, that's the first essential truth about bold prayers for yourself. You just don't come to God when you're desperate. Though I may add, desperate times call for desperate prayers. And I like those kind of prayers. It's those last minute, Lord God, if you don't move, you don't do something here, I don't know what I'm going to do. And you know what happens? He moves in that situation. Sometimes God allows us for the last second, the last moment, the last breath, the last opportunity for him to step in so that he may get the honor and the glory. Amen. Amen. And it's okay. Desperate times call for desperate prayers. And sometimes, you know, most of us are in need because, you know, we need to pray. That's the only time we seek God. And if you don't want to say amen, say ouch.
Amen.
And you wonder why you've got so many trouble coming your way. Have you been praying every day? Have you been praying, asking God, what is your will? God, what, how can I please you? What's your perfect will in this moment, in this decision? You know, we make a decision first and ask God to bless our decision. And God says, you just made your decision. I'm not here to bless you. I'm not a lucky charm. You ask me first, what do I need? What do I need to do first? And then I will bless you. And then I will open the doors. And then I will enlighten you. Say, this is not right. This is not the way I should go. And when that happens, you're like, ooh, thank you, Lord, de lo que me salvaste. I can't say that in English. You come to him because you know who he is. Before you pray about your situation, you have to be settled about your Savior. You got to believe in the one that you're praying to. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 15:8 tells us the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him.
Amen.
He doesn't hear the sinner. He doesn't hear the wicked. But the upright prayer pleases him. It touched his heart. Amen.
Yes.
Second, to pray with boldness for yourself. Number two, refuse to be silenced. Refuse to be silenced. The crowd told them what? Be silent. Be quiet. They tried to shame them into silence. You're insignificant. You're not part of this crowd. They refused to be silenced. But the Bible says they shouted even louder. They cried out even louder because they don't know their need. They're not the ones who's blind. They're not the one who's been suffering. The crowd can tell you this and that, and you may be ashamed to pray, but let me tell you, the crowd, the world, those around you don't know what you've been going through. They don't know the kind of prayers that God has answered. When you couldn't see your way, God brought you through, amen? When you couldn't see yourself out of the situation, God opened the door when all doors were closed. And they cried out even more, even more. Romans 12:12 tells us to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. What is our joy? Our joy is in the hope of God.
Amen.
We got to be patient during affliction. In other words, this too shall pass. You haven't died yet. We had a little girl in our party, and she was always funny. She when someone would fall, and she'd always say, "But did you die? But did you die?" That was her word. And ever today, we still say, "But did you die? You made it. You made it. Praise the Lord." But you got to be joyful in the hope that God has listened to you. And be patient in the middle of affliction and of suffering. That's the time we want to give up. That's the time we say, see, you know what? If I'm going through this, it's because God's not with me. On the contrary, God is giving you the strength to endure so you can pray about it and ask God, God, I'm going through so much of this. Would you help me through my affliction? That there's something about a prayer answered. There's something about going through a situation, and at the end you say, thank God you helped me through this. Man, I was losing my mind. I was losing my marbles. I don't know which way to go, up or down. I had no idea which way to go. But God enlightened my path. God opened the door, and blessed be the name of our God. Amen.
Amen.
I know there's somebody about that. Amen. And Romans 12:12 says, faithful in prayer. Turn to your neighbor and says, just tell him, hey, just keep on praying. Let's be real. When you pray boldly for yourself, you will face resistance, if not even from yourself. Sometimes it comes from people. Oh, you're always going to be like that. Your situation ain't never going to change. Your husband's never going to change. Your son is never going to come to Christ. You can hear the crowd around you, but sometimes you got to separate yourself from the crowd and says, Lord God, it's just you and I. When everyone else abandoned me, it's always been you, Father. You've been faithful. You've been true. I got to eliminate the voices in the crowd. I got to eliminate everything else and just concentrate on you. Sometimes doubt comes from the enemy. You know, you're going through, you see what I told you? Te dije. You see, you're not a child of God. Why are you going through so much trouble? He doesn't love you anymore. You know why I punish my kids? Because I love them. I allow them to scrape their knees because I know they're going to get up and know they're not going to do that again. You know? I don't know if anybody allowed their child to touch a hot pan, but I almost did. And I said, oh, wait a minute. But certain things we got to allow the ones we love to go certain things so that they begin to learn.
Yeah.
Not going to do that again. I'm not going to put my finger in the electrical socket anymore.
I'm not going to touch that hot pan anymore. I did it once. I'm not going to do it again. And you think our lovingly Heavenly Father is not going to allow you to go through affliction. I'm here to tell you, you're about to go through it. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. It's that he wants to demonstrate that I'm with you, not only in the good times, but also in the bad times. And you're going to come out stronger. You're going to come out bolder. And you're going to learn a lesson. You're going to be able to give me the honor and the glory. Someone shout amen for that. Amen. I said, somebody shout amen to that. Amen. Psalms 34:17. When the righteous cry for help. Somebody say righteous. That's you and I. That's you. When they cry for help, Psalms 34:17, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. You're going to cry. I'm here to tell you that you're going to cry. I'm here to tell you trouble's going to come your way. But when in the middle of that situation, when you begin to pray, God will deliver you. And you're not going to cry always. It doesn't rain every day. But after the rain, after the storm comes your way, there's a peace after the storm. How many have felt that in their lives? Man, there was chaos all about me. But man, I don't know how God did it, but he did it. And after all this, I got a peace in my heart. And I knew that it was God all alone. All along. Amen. The Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. He didn't say, I'm not going to give you trouble. On the contrary, when you go through trouble, after you call me out, I will deliver. And that's a beautiful worship song. Amen. You see, on Sunday, I know who's been through a tough week. They show up on Sunday and they're raising their hands. They're glorifying God. They're just crying and moco's coming out. And they're just like, oh, my God. I know that they've been through something. I know that God demonstrated themselves in their life. And they're here on Sunday. God, I made it. I don't know how I made it, but I bless you anyways. Amen. Come on, somebody. Some of you have stopped praying because things have been too long. It's been too difficult. You're tired of the opposition. I'm here to tell you, shout a little louder if you got to. Hold on a little longer. Pray even more boldly. Get a pushback in your spirit. What's a pushback? Push back against depression. Push back against gossip. Push back against so many things that are coming your way. You believe God and the promises written in the Word of God that He will see you through. Amen. 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 Isaiah 43:2 tells us, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Amen. You know, water seems calm from the top, but there's an undercurrent. And that undercurrent can take you. You may want to see, you may see waters, and those of you who like science, but there's an undercurrent of a water underneath it, and that's what slips you. And you think it's all fine, it looks great, but he says, even if you go through the waters, I will be with you, Isaiah 43:2 says, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Y'all seen a river, you know, I don't know if you've been to the Kern River, it's just horrendous, it's fast. And he says, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Have you seen a pattern here? You know what I see the pattern in the Word of God is? That you're going to go through a lot of stuff. I'm telling you right now. If somebody told you being a Christian is so easy and nothing's going to come your way, you're going to have no opposition, I'm here to erase that from your mind. I'm here to tell you there's going to be opposition. There's going to be difficulty coming your way. And I'm sorry, but I'm glad I'm the one who told you. When you walk through the fire, God, man, that's tough. When you walk through the fire, turn to your neighbor and tell him you're going to walk through the fire. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but that's what the Word of God. I love to tell you ain't nothing going to happen your way. I would love to tell you everything is going to be easy. I would love, I would, you know, I, there's a few preachers out there, and I hear them, and man, they got the biggest smile, and just, you're so beautiful, and nothing's going to come your way. I want to be the opposite. A lot of things are going to come your way. The Bible says in Isaiah 43:2, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. You're going to feel the heat. You're going to feel the temperature rising, but you will not be burned. Nor shall the flame scorch you. In other words, it won't leave evidence that you went through a fire. It won't leave scars that you went through that difficult situation. Because the only thing left is that God saw you through it. And if the only thing left on our part, my part, your part, is worship and praise to God.
Amen.
It's worship and praise to God. Amen. Number three, answer Jesus' question with clarity. Jesus knew they were blind, but he still asked them, what do you want me to do for you? Specific prayers declare, I believe you can do this. I believe you can change this situation. I believe you can change this and that. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you don't ask. I remember I was at Heliana after prayer, and I was telling her, we said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to clean, and I told her, I like to mop and this and that. And she said, well, you know, I want a man to get clean, mop and this and that. And she was so specific, and I said, man, that's what you got to ask for. You got to be specific. Tell the Lord exactly what you need. Amen. You do not have because you don't ask. When you pray for yourself, don't just say, bless me, Lord. Say, heal me, God. Break this addiction. Restore my relationship. Open the specific door of opportunity. There's a lot of people here that didn't go to college for the job they're doing right now. There's a lot of people, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of people here unqualified for a lot of the things you're doing. And you think you're lucky, mija? It's not because of that. It's because God blessed you. Because God blessed you. Amen? He opened that door. John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. But you got to abide in him. And his word need to abide in you. Then you will ask whatever you wish. See, here's the formula. When God abides in you, the word of God abides in you, you start saying, oh, I really don't need to pray for that. Nah, I really don't need that. I really need this. Lord God, give me wisdom. Lord God, give me knowledge. You know, instead, you stop worrying about the petty stuff. And worrying about the bigger picture. And that's what it means. It's not just, you know, I could ask for, like I always want a Mercedes-Benz. I can ask for that, and God knows my wish. But when I'm according to his will, in prayer, in his word, that I know not to ask for that. Because he knows what I need. Amen? Fourth, to pray with boldness for yourself, you've got to expect more than the answer. This story ends with one of my favorite parts. After they received their sight, they followed him. We were ministering to this young lady a couple years ago, and she would only come, and she hasn't been here in a long time, so believe me. She would only come when her court date was coming up. I'm really serious. And she was using God like a lucky charm. Okay, God, I'm showing up to church. Her expectation was so low of God. I don't know what the situation with that or this or that. But, you know, there was some action behind the miracle, behind an answer to prayer, that they followed him. They drew closer to him. They became a disciple of Christ. The whole purpose of an answered prayer is that you draw closer to the one who answered your prayer. If God bless you with a job and you don't show up on Sunday, that's not a blessing. If you can't do what your duty is as a parent, as a brother, a sister, and you got no time for this and that, for that wasn't a blessing. Oh, man. Pastor, stop. Psalms 116:12 says, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me?" The right response to that is obedience, gratitude, and deep commitment. You know, Jesus is still asking you, "What do you want me to do for you?" Don't answer small, vaguely, answer boldly, but according to his will. Start with the faith in who Jesus is. "I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you lead me to the Father. I believe that you're intercessing for my need." Refuse to be silenced by fear, by shame, opposition. Speak clearly, specifically, and lead to deeper obedience and love for him. When you're in love with somebody, you'll follow them to the end, right? Remember that vow in the beginning, through richer and poorer, through sickness and health. Oh, you know, remember that? Remember when you were in love? He says, "Yo te sigo hasta las lunas y las estrellas." Amen. "I'll follow you anywhere." Man, you were so in love. When you found out, boy, you found out that he likes you and he loves you, man, you'd go to the end of the world with him. You know? God is just asking you to give the right response to a prayer already given in obedience, gratitude, and deeper commitment. And Jesus still is asking, "What do you want me to do for you?" A famous reformer said, "Jesus hears us and in his own good time will give an answer. He may sometimes keep us long waiting, but he will never send us empty-handed." Never. You may not have the exact response you wanted, but learning to wait on God made you such a better person. Amen. Learning to understand that God has always been with you in the middle of difficulty is probably the better answered prayer that you need than that specific need that you were asking for God. Singleness, loneliness is not an emergency for you to get married right away. Wait on God. Singleness is not a predicament you need to get out right away. Wait on God. Don't venture too fast. Ask God for wisdom first. Be bold about what you need, but ask him, is this your will? Will this honor you? And will this give you glory? Then you will see, yes, thank you, Lord. I was going a little too fast, but thank you for slowing me down. I want to trust you ever more. I want to believe you even more.
We hope you enjoyed this message. But before you go, we want to extend an invitation to start a personal relationship with Jesus and declare him your God. No one loves you like Jesus, and no one will impact your life for good like Jesus will. Would you make the following prayer your prayer? Heavenly Father, I repent of my wrongdoing. I open my heart and I want to have a personal relationship with you. I trust that Jesus died so I could be forgiven, but he didn't stay dead. He rose back to life so I could have eternal life. From today on, I will follow you. Transform my life through your truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations. If you made that prayer, God lives in you, and now you have a new life in him. Connect to a church so your faith and love for God can continue to grow. We believe that you can find a loving and encouraging community in Dayspring Church. Come visit us. You belong here. We would love to meet you.